This episode is brought to you by SendPro from Pitney Bowes. SendPro has three times the features of Stamps.com at one-third the price. Visit pb.com/TMS to learn more and try it for free for 90 days. After that, you get SendPro for only $5 a month. That's pb.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, how is Vegas the second time?
Your dog looks like a rat.
That Cheeto is expensive.
Nude flight delay.
I hope this isn't about you. It actually happened in Vegas. We'll find out. That was the last time I saw Peanut Dufresne.
There's a fly in your eye.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The 1958 Edsel. The car that presents originality and elegance never seen before in any car at any price. And presents them in 18 different models. This expensive-looking car is one of the Edsel Ranger series. A four-door ice green sedan styled like a hardtop.
The kid gives him stink eye.
The Morning Stream. I'm still stuck on Pumbaa.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's TMS for August 1st, 2017, the first day of a new month. It is 4:44 in the p.m., and you're thinking, that's not the morning, and you'd be right. Well, that's because Brian was at an airport and couldn't find a good place to plug in. That's so, right. F that noise, we decided to delay the show, and that's totally fine with me.
Well, it wasn't even just that. It was that the hotel Wi-Fi, the Monte Carlo Wi-Fi, so bad that... I launched my laptop, which recently had to be reinstalled, and it said, oh, you need to, what I was going to do, I was going to check Speed. Mm-hmm. There's that site you can go to, speed.io.
Yeah.
Speedio.
Sure.
Speedio. And I didn't have Flash installed on that computer yet, so I said, okay, well, let's install Flash. 10 megabyte download, 95 minutes to download it.
Oh, that doesn't seem right.
No, that's some bad Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that is not broadband access. I'm just gonna say that.
No, I'm taking Monte Carlo off my list of recommended hotels to stay in until they get their rebranding and their retheming and everything done.
Oh, I didn't know they were doing that. Are they doing that?
Yeah, they are. They're turning it into. It's not gonna be Monte Carlo anymore. It's gonna be Park MGM, and it's Yeah.
But they're owned by the MGM people, right?
They're still owned by MGM, yep.
And MGM's got decent services, so maybe some of that'll bleed over.
Hoping so. You know, they could turn into one of their new, nicer properties if the retheming and all the rework they're doing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, being in my room, and granted, this wasn't during time I would normally be sleeping.
Right.
Oh, look at that cool cup.
Yeah, look at all these stickers. I look like a teenage girl, my sister says.
You totally do.
Yeah.
So during regular working hours, in my room, you could hear. Like it's, you know, constant. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing on the side of the hotel, but it was really close to my floor, which was the 13th floor, I might add.
Oh, so they had one, did they?
Mm. They had one. Yeah. Stayed on the 13th floor.
Yeah. Did you see anything weird while you were there? Any kind of, ghostly apparitions or anything?
I did not. But, But I did, you know, the whole purpose of this trip, last week's trip was an anniversary trip with Tina, just a getaway, 25th anniversary, celebrating being cancer-free, all that stuff.
Yep.
This week was a work trip, and it was me going to Mandalay Bay to meet up with my contacts down there and Pete Rose to do some more work to his website. So years ago, many, many technologies ago, many WordPress infrastructures ago, I did PeteRose.com. And I've done some updates to it, but nothing major and sweeping with like all the new stuff that I'm using these days. And so it's time for an update, time for a refresh.
Sure.
And we also decided it was also time to like look at all the new merchandise that we saw on the site.
Sure. Did he greet you with a mobster style hug, like a... Oh, Brian, it's good to have you in the fold again. Come in here and he'll just give you a big Pete Rose hug or
that's no. Just not him. Okay. He's a very to the point.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
Good. Got anything to bet on? Nope. All right. I'm out of here. See ya.
I don't know if I'd say that, but yes. Anyway, so it was taking a bunch of pictures. So I had basically this was a trip where my suitcase had a pair of underwear in it, a shirt, pair of shorts, some socks, and then everything I need for photography. So my light stands, my tripod, the camera bag, all that, all the accessories, basically.
Sure.
So it was very little in the way of comforts.
Yeah, it's better. I mean, it's better than that time you didn't have underwear and you had to go to the CVS or whatever it was.
This is true. The Ross Dress for Less.
Yeah, oh, that's what it was. The Ross.
Exactly.
Used to be so, an arcade. Anyway.
So I head on down there, do all the photography. I get down there about 1:00. We're done in like 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours, right? Yeah. Yeah. 3:45, 4:00. I'm like, all right, I think we're wrapped up. He's like, all right, well, let's go talk to Pete Rose about the site for a minute. So we go, we talk to him about the direction that we're taking with the site. He's as excited about it as Pete Rose gets.
Sure. He's on board though, right? He's, you know,
he's totally on board. He's like, you know, he's like, all right, looking forward to seeing it. I'm like, all right, cool.
See you later.
See you later. That's $50. It's hard for me not to do the, anyway.
Yeah, whatever. How old guy is he now? He's in his 70s, right?
He is in his 70s. Yeah.
Okay.
It looks great for his 70s, man. I mean, he, you know, he looks great.
Yeah.
So,
he looked 50. He looked 50 in his 20s. So it only makes sense that he's in his 70s, he'd look younger. Yeah.
So, and by the way, I do want to preface all of this by saying that JD, who I is a listener to Coverville, I believe he's a frequent listener to TMS, so he will hear this. And Joey that I work with down there, who doesn't listen to TMS, so he'll never hear this, but they brought me down there on you know, they paid for the trip out there and took care of hotel and stuff like that, the part that wasn't free.
Right.
So big thanks to them for getting me out there to do the work. Now, that's it.
All right. There you go. That's always a good sign when you preface it with some, okay, just before I say anything, I really like everybody.
Exactly. Now, here comes the butt. I'm not going to say anything mean about any of them by any stretch of the imagination. I love those guys and always happy to work with JD. He's okay. Great.
All right.
So it's about 4:00 and we've been talking to James and Sved of Same Sex Mary about getting together for dinner. Yeah. Mitzula is going to join us. So I was like, all right, cool. We'll figure out the time as soon as I can kind of get wind down from working down in Mandalay Bay.
Sure.
Mandalay Bay, maybe what? 4 hotels where you got Luxor, Excalibur, New York, and then Monte Carlo. So 4 hotels away.
Okay.
And it's about 4:00. I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to go ahead and take a lift back up to the hotel. Well, Joey, who lives out there, says, oh, no, Brian, don't worry about it. I'll give you a ride. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, hey, we just got to wrap up a couple more things here, and then we'll take off, and I'll have you up there and send you on your way. I'm like, all right, cool.
All right.
So we wrap up a few things. He's got some phone calls he needs to make. I decide, all right, well, I'm going to go freshen up, go to the bathroom, and you know, maybe get something to drink and all that. About 4:30, 4:45... he gets a call from this printing place that is working on a new backdrop that sits behind Pete Rose when he's doing his signings and his photography.
All right.
And
I know, like, what, oh, my imagination is going places it shouldn't. So I'm just going to listen to how you're going to describe this, because every time you brought something up, I'm like, oh, it was boobs or it had like a crotch in the middle of it or something weird. But nope, it's probably not that. So keep going. It's
probably not that.
All right.
So they're saying, all right, well, it's done. And if you're going to pick it up, you need to pick it up before we close at 5:00. And he says, oh crap, okay, well, we need to go pick that up. Brian, we'll go pick it up and then I'll get you back to the hotel. And he's also got his wife who actually brought the car over.
Yeah.
And then it's me and JD also in the car. So we head out of the Mandalay Bay parking area.
Sure.
And we head to the right, which is south, which is going away from the strip, from all the fun and lights and all the stuff that
you're gonna go to, all the stuff that's not built yet or that looks like shit or people
all desert. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
And we keep going south and we finally, like, we wrap around the backside of the airport and we're continuing going off in that direction, and I'm just watching the strip and all the buildings get further and further away, and we pull into this industrial park.
Yeah.
And pull up, and it's like 4:55. Like, oh, they totally made it. This is awesome. Cool. Yeah. They go in, or Joey goes in, and he doesn't come out for a little while.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay, well, that's weird. And he finally comes out and says, oh, yeah, they're really, really busy in there, but they've got it done. Do you want to come in and take a look at it? And JD's like, yeah, Brian, come on in. I want you to see this too. I'm like, cool. So we go in there, and we're kind of waiting behind the desk, and finally she comes out with the stand, and it's in like a duffel bag.
Okay.
And like, well, let's take a look at it. So we open it up and it's a bunch of bars, metal bars, poles, and then this wrapped up cloth banner.
Yeah, so like a tent almost.
Like a tent, right, exactly. So you build it up like a stand.
Yeah.
And then put the cloth thing on it. Right. Well, let's take a look at this. Let's see how we put it together. Like, all right. So we open up the bag. We pull out all the poles, and we're trying to figure out how to get them together. We're like, all right, well, no, we connect A to A over here, and then we pull these other sections out, and we kind of stand this up. And where's an Allen wrench? Oh, we put this out. You got to screw this in with an Allen wrench. And we put it together. We finally get the thing put up together, and we had to stand back and take a look at it. I'm like, all right, yeah, this looks really good. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, cool. Looks all right. Let's go ahead and take it apart and put it back in the bag.
Yeah.
Take it apart, put it back in the bag. Bag in the double bag. Oh, it's not quite fit now. Let's put this. Let's fold this differently. Let's put this sleeve in here. And then, okay, there we go. Now we got it. We got clothes. Great. Yeah. All right, looks good. We're going to head out. We put it in the back of Joey's car.
Yeah. And then, sounds like a TV show waiting to happen. All right, anyway.
Then we start heading out. Yeah. And they ask, all right, Brian, so you're at Monte Carlo. JD, where are you staying? Oh, I'm over right at a hotel right by the Hard Rock Hotel. Okay. Oh, I think that actually might be closer. We're going to drop you off first, JD, and then we'll take you over to the Monte Carlo. All right, cool. So we start heading down. We start heading back that way, and of course traffic is a mess. It's like right around 5 o'clock, 5:15, 5:30, yeah. And we're heading on Koval Lane. Finally get to JD's hotel. We drop him off. I say, well, you're meeting us for dinner, so I'll give you a call in a little bit. Let you know where to meet us for dinner. It's about 5:30. Turn around, and we start heading back to the strip. And that's where stuff is really starting to build up, because the Killers did a thing last night for Jimmy Kimmel where they're performing live in front of Caesar's Palace.
Oh.
And traffic is bumper to bumper. It's like a standstill.
That sounds inching awful. Long. Ugh, I hate that. All right.
And it's not moving, and we're in a place where we can't go anywhere else. We are trapped on all sides.
Yeah. By the way, you're describing one of my panic attack scenarios. I hate that feeling of not being able to go anywhere in park traffic like that. I freaking hate it.
Oh, God. And we're just going slow, and like now we're finally getting close to the strip, and I can see the buildings and all the lights and all the people walking around with their stupid ginormous plastic misshapen containers full of alcohol on walking on the strip.
Yep.
And we turn, we get on the strip, and it's going even slower than that. And we're like two hotels away. We're in front of the Aria. And the next hotel is Monte Carlo. And we start slowing down even more. And I'm feeling like a kid whose parents decide not to take him to Disneyland, but to just drive around the outside of Disneyland so he can see all the rides.
You hate being that kid.
I'm that kid. I'm in the backseat like, oh, there's the Matterhorn. Oh, there's Space Mountain. This is really fun. So we get to the front of Monte Carlo, but, you know, it's a Vegas hotel. It's on the strip.
Sure.
There's no way you can't just walk up to the hotel. They have these metal bars to keep pedestrians from crossing in inappropriate places and getting hit and all that stuff. And there's like a big 4-foot metal fence. Well, we get up close to where there's like a little break in the fence. And I say, you know what? You guys could just let me out here. This is totally fine. And that way you guys could continue on. You don't have to go through the big Monte Carlo loop. They're like, oh, are you sure?
Yeah.
We don't mind taking you up to the front. I'm like, oh, no, that's totally okay. Yeah. Totally okay. I don't even think I waited for the car to actually come to a complete stop before I was out the door.
This is so me, dude. I would have ran for it. I really would have. Like you, this happened to me once on the Vegas Strip where it just got so slow, and I kind of popped. I went, oh, I gotta get out of this freaking car.
Can't do it anymore.
And so I did, and the whole world opens up to you because you just walk there now. Big deal.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. So hopped out, went through the little opening in the fence, got to the hotel, got up there, basically had enough time to drop off my bag and then hop in a Lyft and go meet everybody for dinner.
Oh, my Lord.
No time to unwind, no time to have a drink, no time to, like, sit and relax. It's like, all right, back on again.
Yeah, none of that sounds fun to me. Not on the surface of it, but it sounds like you had a fine time otherwise.
Still had a great time. Once I got the Lyft over to the restaurant with James and Svet, a little off the grid place called Starboard Tack, and it's like a nautical themed rum bar and restaurant that has like almost like tiki bar food, poo poo platters, skewers of beef and chicken and poke bowls and stuff like that.
Sounds really good.
It was really, really good and like super cheap, five of us ate for under $50 or $60 or something. We each had a couple drinks. I mean, it was ridiculously inexpensive.
How far off the beaten path? Like,
A good 3 miles east of the north end of the strip. So, you know where Stratosphere is and SLS on Sahara?
Yeah, yeah.
About 3 miles east on there.
Okay.
To a street called Atlantic.
And what was the name of that thing again? The name of the place?
It's called Starboard Tech. And I totally, it's going on my recommended list. That's really, really good.
Okay. I'll check it out when I'm there because that sounds all right. I like I like the off the beaten path stuff. I think that stuff
works out. Yeah, for sure. So Svet was in charge of doing a show last night promoting a bunch of bands, three or four bands that were playing at the Beauty Bar downtown Vegas. So I went there, watched the first band. I'm like, all right, I think I'm out. I'm heading back to the hotel. I'm wiped out.
Yeah.
And of course, that's when all the traffic
kicked in again
for the Killers concert, the Free Killers concert in front of Caesars. Fortunately, the Lyft driver, by the way, I wish I would have gotten a photo of this guy, had the greatest Lyft driver. This was the guy that actually took me to Starboard Tech. Dude had hair like Kramer, stuck straight up, curly, straight up hair.
Awesome.
Kind of had that Michael Richards face, a little, you know, a little elongated, like a, you know, like a crude drawing of a court jester.
Sure.
And the most random shit glued to his dashboard you've ever seen in any automobile, let alone a Lyft.
So it was a Lyft, not a taxi.
It was a Lyft, not a taxi.
I thought they had rules about that. Maybe they don't. Maybe they can just do whatever they want.
Yeah. But it was clean. It was just a lot of shit glued to his dashboard, like a Swarovski crystal rooster that was apparently like $150 that is his fiance, who he's still with, previous one destroyed because she like wiped off all the stuff on his dashboard in a fit of anger, thinking that he was cheating on her because he came home so happy from doing his Lyft job. I heard the whole story on the way to Starboard Tech. This guy was great. He was really, really fun. I you know, tipped him the maximum and
would ride again. Stuff. You're saying you
would ride again? Yeah. Yes, A++.
Okay, all right. So, it sounds like fun. Like always, you always have fun there.
I do. It was you know, always. I turn everything into a vodka lemonade. When life gives you lemons, make vodka lemonade.
Yeah, and what better place to do it than Las Vegas, Nevada? I get it.
That's right, where the drinks flow free, my friend.
That is correct. Well, it's good to have you back. I will only tell you a brief thing that happened to me. I talked yesterday at length about the wedding I performed and all that, so nobody wants to hear that.
Oh, yeah, I need to hear that.
Again.
Cool, I'll go back and listen to
it
that.
It was eventful. Yeah,
Probably would have downloaded if I would have had Wi-Fi.
That's a good point. That would have taken you like 8 years to get it at the rate you were getting that other file. But I had something funny happen. Took the dog for a walk this morning, and a kid in a car... And I say kid, probably 17, like Nick's age, you know, driving by, sticks his head out of the window and yells, "Your dog looks like a rat."
Aww.
And then laughed. And that's fine. She kind of does a little. I don't care. I'm not offended. Right. But then because he's turned around outside of his window looking at me, like straining his neck out the side.
Yeah.
He slams. We have these curbs that kind of, it's actually designed this way on purpose. Every once in a while, they'll curve into the road and then curve back out to the edge of the road.
Oh, right, to slow you down, basically, to make sure that you...
They're like visual indicators that you, look, you can't just come ripping through here. If another car's coming, you both are more cautious. Like, there's some proven thing about these cause less accidents or something. Guy hits the curb on one of the outtake parts where it's sticking out, pops his tire. I hear it go, pow! Like,
oh, no.
Big sound of this horrible sound, and now he is just grinding his rim... on the ground, and sent his not his rim but his hubcap sent that thing sailing like somebody's nightmare frisbee, just
somebody's death metal frisbee.
Yeah, and that thing went kink 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 way up the road around the corner someplace, and I couldn't help but just laugh my freaking head off.
I hope you laughed openly.
Oh, I totally did.
The tit didn't match the tat.
No.
The tit for tat wasn't quite an even exchange. I had to make sure I finished that sentence very quickly.
Yeah, let's just say the tit was a little bigger than the tat. But yeah, it was the weirdest thing, and I wanted to feel bad but couldn't. I thought, you know what, dude? If you're going to take the time to be an a-hole about my dog, maybe you kind of got what you deserve. Nobody got hurt. There was nobody else in other cars on this road. It was a quiet road, street.
Yeah.
And he banged his thing, broke his tire, probably going to piss his dad off because it's not even his car.
He's going to have to explain to his dad, like, well, why didn't you just turn and avoid the road? Well, because I was insulting some guy's dog. Dog totally deserved it.
It's a horrible excuse that won't fly. So I'm stoked for that conversation yesterday.
I know. Yep, exactly. There's sometimes you see karma work in like instant.
And this is when it happened.
John Lennon said that.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought he said, imagine all the people. Wasn't that what he said?
In a song called Instant Karma, he described instant karma.
Is it true that they gave Yoko Ono writing credit for Imagine or something? Wasn't there some deal going on?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought I heard about this. I may be remembering it wrong, but I know this. It is time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Core. It's happening tonight. Be there.
That's right. Frogpants.tv. Be there. We're going to talk about Garage Hellscream. We've all had a chance to play with him. He's pretty great, and he's a much-needed sustained tank in the world of Heroes of the Storm. So if you're into it, be into it enough to be at our live show tonight. Next week, we have a special guest on who designed that character, and we have a lot to talk to him about. So anyway, plenty happening over at Core. Get details at frogpants.com/core. All right, let's get into a few stories. Jury will be here soon-ish, so watch for that. Let's start with this one. Your oddly shaped Cheeto, not a euphemism, okay?
Okay.
Your oddly shaped Cheeto could fetch you up to $50,000.
Wow.
Now, we've had times on the show where we've talked about Cheeto shapes before and how some were famous and got framed and all of that. Well, it looks like the Cheetos people are trying to jump on the bandwagon here.
Okay.
Remember, the cheetah is a cheetah.
Chester Cheetah.
Chester Cheetah is a cheetah. Exactly.
That's right.
Your bag of Cheetos could win you $50,000. If you spot a weirdly shaped Cheeto, snap a pic and submit it to the Cheetos Museum. That's a real thing, by the way. You will then have a chance to win the big bucks. Weekly winners for both the Flamin' Hot and Cheesy Flavor categories through August 6th. You don't have much time. You have 5 days. They're going to score $5,000 each. When the top winners for each variety will face off for a chance to win $50,000, winners will be determined based on the creativity of the cheesy snack shape description and how closely the Cheeto resembles that description. Even those who don't participate in the contest can take part in the fun. So here's the deal. Ripley's Believe It or Not in Times Square is hosting this. The Cheetos Museum exhibit through the end of August, plastered with Cheeto walls and holds display cases with oddly shaped snacks. There's a sculpture of the Cheeto mascot, or the Cheetah mascot, Chester the Cheetah. He's made out of the snack also.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That seems...
So you could kiss him or lick him and you'd get a little
I wonder how they adhere the Cheetos to one another in that to make that sculpture.
I don't want to know.
I wonder if we could take a picture of a cheesy. Because, you know, we got those Canadian cheesies that I think are far superior to Cheetos.
Do you think we could get away with it?
And then send a photo and say, this is a weirdly... I think so, because they look just like Cheetos.
Well, plus if it's only ever a photo and never the actual Cheeto, maybe we could get away with that. But are yours shaped... Mine are all shaped like straight sticks. Like there's nothing fancy going on with mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, did yours
you're
come out?
You're just not looking hard enough. You're just not... You need to go deeper into the bag, Scott. Dig down deep into the bag of cheesies.
Deep into your bag. Also in the news, a naked dude delayed a flight in Vegas. How convenient. This story.
Was not me.
Okay, it wasn't you. Officials say, have you heard of Spirit Airlines? I've never heard of them. Okay.
Spirit Airlines is the low cost airline. So you can get a flight for like $9 if you join their Spirit Club or whatever it's called.
Really? How do they do that? How do they?
You pay to bring on a carry-on bag. You pay if you want to pick your seat. You pay if you want a drink on the plane. You pay. I mean, basically it's. They were the ones who actually started the unbundling thing, and some people even say that they're the ones that caused all of the other airlines to figure out that they could unbundle fares from all of the perks you get. The people used to get as part of their fares, like a drink and carry-on bags and checked bags and stuff like that.
Sure. I'm okay with unbundling if the actual ticket price isn't a nightmare. That's where if these other ones have learned anything, they haven't learned anything. All they've done is said, hey, what if we charge the same amount
that we always charge? We'll keep the ticket price the same and they'll make you just pay for all the other things.
Freaking F Airlines, dude. F those guys.
Yeah, there's apparently something that works. According to the most recent episode of Megyn Kelly's show, the one that was on Sunday night, there is some government deregulation, but some government stuff that's going to happen to analyze the airline industry and see if there's some bad.
She's going to dig deep, is she?
Bad business. I don't think she is. I think the government is, or I think somebody is. Like some, you know, maybe the FAA or somebody is going to get involved.
Yeah.
I like the f*** too.
All right.
Yeah, and Alex Jones will step in and
great
and help with that.
Because they've had their great relationship, Megyn Kelly and him. Yes. By the way, if you want to see a proper dismantling of Alex Jones, watch the most recent, or July, I don't know if it's the most recent, but the July 30th edition, I think it's the most recent, of John Oliver's show on HBO.
Oh, really? Okay.
Cool. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, freaking excellent. Brilliant. All you got to do is a little homework, and it turns out you can really nail that guy.
Nice.
Anyway.
I like the
Okay, all right. Jeez, okay, Alex Jones, we know. We get it, buddy. We get it. Let's move on to this.
I'm a patriot.
Oh, I know we are. Just stay over there. We'll talk to you at the end of the show. I'm talking to a soundboard, you guys. It's almost like it's real. Anyway, Naked Dude, he was on the Spirit Airlines there, leaving Las Vegas, was briefly delayed after a passenger removed all of their clothes while boarding and approached a flight attendant. The incident occurred Saturday on a plane bound for Oakland, California. I almost said Arvada, Colorado.
So, you know, they can't charge him for anything, right? If he comes on board only... Only with a small sack, then he's not paying any additional fees.
How much to carry on my little sack, he says to the flight attendant. Gross. He says, let's see, police captain, Lieutenant Carlos Hank said the passenger received treatment after a medical episode, whatever that is. McCarran International Airport say police and medical responders took the passenger for observation. They report the flight was delayed by about 30 minutes and arrived 20 minutes behind schedule, which isn't that different than planes usually arrive. So
no, exactly. It won't make it up in the air. Yeah. Well, then why don't you normally fly that fast? If you could get me there early and you make it up the time in the air, why don't you fly that fast normally?
What's the deal?
What's the deal?
Here's a story about an inmate who used peanut butter to fool a guard.
Love this. I read about this today.
Yeah, this is pretty great. Somebody submitted this days ago, and I apologize for not having the name, but thank you who did. A dozen inmates escaped from an Alabama jail using peanut butter to change the numbers above the door and trick a new employee into opening the door that led outside, said the sheriff. The inmates changed the number above a cell to the number that identified the door leading outside the jail, so when an inmate asked a young, inexperienced jailer to let him out of his cell, the jailer was fooled into opening the outside door instead. I feel like I'm not being told enough about this story.
It's such a, it just feels like, oh, brother, where art thou? We done covered the door with peanut butter.
Well done. I'm a Dapper Dan man myself. But right. Then do these doors, I assume these are cell doors that aren't like just bars, right? Must not be. They must be mostly door, maybe a small window.
Right, exactly. And I'm guessing that they used the peanut butter to cover up the window so they could see that it wasn't a door that led outside. So the inmate said, this is my cell. Could you unlock the door for me so I can go back to my cell? And then when he opened it up, they just went, wee-hee! That's what I'm envisioning. You know, it's John Goodman and I can't think of the
name. I remember that guy's name. John Goodman and John Forsythe, I believe is his name.
John Forsythe, okay. Well,
in your, that other
Raising
thing.
Arizona.
Raising Arizona, yeah. I think that was his name. Hold on.
Didn't seem like a Forsythe.
No,
did he?
This is gonna throw me off.
John Gomer Gubernus.
Wow, it's not Gomer Gubernus. This is gonna really irritate me if this is wrong because I've spent a lot of time doing it. Oh yeah, John Forsythe. This is him.
Wow, nice job.
He is an actor. He's wrong guy. Damn it.
Oh.
Something Forsythe. Anyway, that guy. He was in The Rock as well. He was a guy in The Rock.
Okay.
Anyway, let's move on to a mother who tried to glue a dead fly to her eyelid, but she thought that's because it was her fake eyelashes, but it wasn't. Pretty good deal, yeah?
I like this. I did not read ahead on this, and I'm already loving it from the headline.
Here's the deal. It's a real art to apply fake lashes, they say. You need a steady hand, patience, precision, and good eyesight. I'm not sure I qualify for any three of those. Oh, I haven't told you. You know, my, so after my surgeries, everything was great. And then eventually the right eye started getting cloudy again. Went in, they said, oh, that's cell growth. You need to burn. We just need to do a quick laser thing and get rid of that. That's because you're young and you and normally old, like 85-year-olds with the problem you have, that just doesn't grow back. But for somebody who's young, has young eyes, they grow. It grows. It tries to grow back and it gets weird. So we'll just cut it out. So I said, great. So I went in there, what, a year and a half ago or something? Year ago, maybe. Zip, zap, zoop, done, out, perfect, no problem. About 3 months ago, I'm in there just getting a regular checkup. New doctor says, well, you're getting it on the left eye. Do you notice it? I'm like, no, not really. He says, okay, well, we won't worry about it for now. If it gets bad, just let me know. Okay, cool, see you later. Here's your new prescription. I go home. About halfway through the camping trip that I was on 2 weeks ago, just about halfway through, it suddenly hits me that the left eye is kind of terrible all of a sudden. And in an unusual fashion for me.
Covered up your right eye and just said, oh, wow, I can't see a thing.
Yeah, I was like, my eyes are straining. Like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, why is it all milky? Oh, no, it's happening again. And between then and now, it's gotten like dramatically worse very fast.
Oh, no.
And it's okay because it'll be just the same simple procedure in and out of there. No big deal. I'm going in Tuesday. It's the best date I could get. Next Tuesday, so it's a week. I still have to wait. Mm-hmm. But my left eye is, I'm almost blind in it now.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It's just quick. Milky. Yeah, it's super quick. This is how the right one did too. Like one day it started a little bit, kind of creeped in, and then went blah, 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 blah. So it's kind of like just rapid growth there at the end. And anyway, I got a bunch of cells trying to reform and create a new eyeball in my eye.
Form a mutiny.
Freaking sucks.
Mutiny.
At least that's what they told me. I don't know this very well. Cindy, who listens to the show, who also works at that office and who is awesome, and I've mentioned her a million times, she probably could describe it better than I am, but that's how it was sort of told to me. Now, the only difference is last time I had the procedure done, it was like a 90-year-old, almost retired eyeball guy who was just really, okay, now let's take a look in there.
That's right. I remember that. I remember.
Yep.
Yeah. It was,
and he had like a little jeweler's eye that he used.
Frontier doctor.
Very much. That's kind of how it felt anyway. I mean, I'm probably exaggerating a little, but the new guy's like younger than me. It looks like he just is fresh out of high school. Yeah. So who knows what he's going to say? I don't know. I'll see Tuesday. I'll let everybody know how that goes.
Nice. Oh, I can't wait.
So on to this eye thing. A mother tried to glue a dead fly in her eye. The good eyesight is key. You don't want to fudge it up and spend all day looking ridiculous, nor do you want to, say, mistake a dead fly for your... for your falsies and spend precious time trying to glue a deceased insect to your eyelid. If that sounds far-fetched, well, I got some good news for you. It happened to Molly Robinson, or Robbins, rather. She's a mother. Her name is Judy. What? I'm sorry. This is Molly Robbins' mother, Judy.
Molly Robbins' mom.
They say Judy. Mom here. It's obviously a Mirror article, isn't it?
There was an old woman who glued a fly to her eye.
I don't know.
I don't know why. Perhaps she'll die. I don't know why she glued a fly to her eye. Perhaps she'll die.
Perhaps she's dumb. Just don't rhyme it. It says, I got a text from my mother having trouble sticking lashes on without her glasses. Turns out she was trying to glue a dead fly to her eyelid. If you squint in the picture, maybe you can look into a dark room and you can see why the confusion might have arisen. The bottom line takeaway lesson is don't mistake your dead flies.
Yeah, maybe mum need some contact lenses if she can't she obviously can't apply her eyelashes with glasses on.
Yeah,
but maybe contacts will allow her to see exactly what she's gluing to her face.
But you worry a little bit that she'll be like that lady we talked about a couple of weeks ago who stacked all those contacts in their eye.
Oh god, no kidding.
Maybe she just shouldn't see. I'm just saying
I glued the contact lenses in my eye so they wouldn't fall out.
The fact that she's British is so much better.
I think so.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin Robert Young will be here, so we'll get to him in a minute. Before that, though, triumphant return of Brian and his Indie in the Middle introductions. Way better than mine. What do you got?
I can't wait to listen to that, too. How about a band called Ben Labatt and the Happy Devil? They are an alternative folk rock band from, I want to say, New Orleans.
Nice.
These guys are great. This is, they recently announced their new studio album called Homeward, which, released at the end of last year. This is, a brand new release coming out soon. It's called Here Now. This is the title track from Here Now, called Here Now. Here's Ben Labatt and the Happy Devil.
Ooh, 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 ooh. me, give her something to remember me by. I can jumpstart your heart, make you forget your lines. But don't you go and fall in love on me, and I won't ever leave without saying goodbye. Saw it coming. Next thing you know, another year over, child. Don't you let it get you down. You got to stretch your wings every once in a while. I got no plan, I got no worry, got no regret so far. Taking a long time to get to where we're going, but we're here, yes, we're here now. Ooh, ooh, yes, we're here now. Let me give you something to remember me by. I can jumpstart your heart, tangle up the line. Don't you let it get you down. You got to stretch your wings every once in a while. I got no plan, I got no worry, got no regret so far. It's taken a long time to get to where we're going, but we're here, yes, we're here now. I got no plan, there's no hurry, got no regret so far. It's taken a long time to get to where we're going, but we're here, yes, we're here now.
Bose wants you to be able to mail stuff faster, easier, and not have to go to the post office. And I'm with them. That's right, I'm talking about SendPro by Pitney Bowes. You have three times the features of Stamps.com at one-third the price. You can print stamps right for your computer. You save yourself time and money. No special equipment necessary. No software to install. Works right there in your browser. And you don't have to wait at the post office. That's always a bummer. Compare shipping rates and delivery times between USPS and other major carriers to ensure you always get the best deal when you ship a package. And you do these prepaid shipping labels for USPS, UPS, and more. It's super easy. You track those shipments with the same browser interface. Piece of cake, wham, bam, done. Visit pb.com right now to learn more. And when you sign up to get your free 90 days, that's 3 months for free, you get a free 10-pound scale, and when that trial's over, you get SendPro for just $5 a month. That's a special rate good for the lifetime of your SendPro subscription. So, small business owner, realize that $5 a month for SendPro versus $15.99 a month for Stamps.com is three times the features, one-third the price. It's an incredible deal, and you don't have to go to the post office ever again. That's my favorite part. Go to pb.com/TMS to get this deal for a limited time. That's pb.com/TMS. I recommend you guys check it out today.
All over America, a quiet revolution has been taking place. More and more, both parents are working and raising families. Life seems to be moving faster than ever. And Americans have rediscovered, are redefining what's really important in their lives. They want quality.
He approaches the baby gangster.
Listen very carefully, or I shall only say this once. You are listening to the Morning Stream.
Jeez, Fletcher, chill out, man.
I think I can honestly say that Fletcher's German accent is worse than our German accent. Yep. Ours is pretty bad.
Yep. Agree 100%. Sorry, Fletcher, no. Do not be sorry. No apologies for this one. Could not agree more.
This is not even Colonel Klink level.
No, it's not. And should it be? The answer is no.
The answer is no.
Gonna get Justin all up in this and talk to him. It's like a Tuesday. Bill's out of town, or we would have had him as well, but he went out of town for some family thing. So instead, we're doing this.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
You guys, it's Justin Robert Young on the line. Justin, what's going on, man?
Well, look who finally showed up.
You just been sitting there waiting for us all morning and all day?
He's waiting with the hot lights on him.
Yeah, that's right. It's good to have you here, though. How are you? Thanks for doing this so late in the afternoon.
Oh, man, no problem. But believe you me, if there's one thing that I am very, very sympathetic to in life, it is unscheduled travel delays and just being late in general to everything. So I am always willing to help a friend in need.
My flight was perfectly on time. I arrived on time. It was just no Wi-Fi at the hotel. I was going to do this from the Monte Carlo, but the Wi-Fi there was so bad.
We were going to try to do it this morning from either there, possibly the airport. We knew it was only going to be maybe half the show kind of ahead of time, but he could just never find good internet and
could not connect. And I think I'm just done trying to connect in Vegas. And it's been like that for the last couple trips, like Cosmopolitan, not enough Wi-Fi to stream anything unless you paid for extra Wi-Fi, which should be included in the freaking resort fees I'm paying, right?
Yeah. You know what had good Wi-Fi was the Grand down there in Fremont. We had great Wi-Fi there.
I'll bet. Actually, it's funny because I found an article when I was talking this morning, I pulled up an article, I think from Foursquare or Yelp or something, finding the best Wi-Fi in Vegas, and downtown Grand was among the best.
See?
The best Wi-Fi. Yeah,
the real key is to find places that don't value it. See, your problem is you're going to the Cosmopolitan, which is new and hot, and all the kids are there, and they want blazing fast speeds to post all of their Instagram booty clap videos. And they're going to charge them an arm and a leg for it. If you go to crappier stuff, or you want to know what, man? I don't know why, for somebody who goes to Vegas as much, you haven't gotten in on some of that Airbnb boom, because like there are deals on deals on deals with Airbnb outside of Vegas.
Yeah,
but I get free rooms currently. Yeah. I get free rooms with all the hotels from...
Then why are you bitching about resort fees?
Because I still have to pay the resort fees. So you get a free room, but you have to pay resort fees on top of that.
Man, look, there
Airbnb
is,
it.
There are some deals because you have all these people. A, the housing crisis really hit Vegas hard. So there still are a lot of people that either bought stuff or like are looking to move it or aren't in the deal that they want. And number two, having been to Vegas, especially with Uber, be two blocks off Vegas.
And just get there in a minute or two. As a matter of fact, there's actually Airbnbs at some of the timeshare places on the Strip. I know the MGM Signature, which is connected to MGM Grand, has a bunch of Airbnbs in there. I'll have to check it out.
That's probably worth looking at. Sure, why not?
But beyond that, there's something just on my mind that needs to be talked about a lot sooner than later. And Jury, that is your John Waters mustache, that little tiny trail of ants on your upper lip.
Yeah.
That seems to be making their way from a picnic at one cheek over to a picnic at the other cheek.
Yeah, what happened there? What's this about?
Oh, you know, man, you fall in with the wrong folks. You know, all of a sudden they ask you to join a gang, and here you are on the Morning Stream trying to explain your strange facial hair decisions. No, of course, this is I've had the mustache for the last month and change because of Action News, which is the card game that I'm kickstarting currently. We have 27 hours to go. And this morning when I woke up, we were around, I think, 950 backers. And we really, really, really wanted to get over 1,000.
Sure.
And so I made the... since the mustache, specifically with like the streaming and the audience and everything, has been kind of a defining factor of this entire process, it felt kind of fitting that if I wanted to throw the hat over the wall a little bit, we would offer to shave the mustache into anything that was voted on. And so we had in the final running just a clean shave.
Yeah.
The reverse Hitler.
Right? There's not many things you can shave a mustache into unless it's a big mustache,
yeah,
right?
You need like, a bigger, yeah,
and this, it's yeah. like I mean, trying
had,
to
yeah. yeah, I had the full kind of push broom, right? So we had some canvas, but the other one that was on there that actually came close was the vanilla ice eyebrow.
What's so like the three stripes in it, like the Dodge logo.
Exactly, yeah. So it would just kind of go from one side to the other with just three lines in it. Right. And then that wound up losing to the John Waters, a.k.a. the Little Richard, a.k.a. the Lou Bega.
Oh, very Little Richard. I'm glad you said Little Richard because that's what I was trying to place here. That's totally yeah. Little yeah. Richard.
So that's what we're at for now. It'll definitely stay around until after the Kickstarter's over, which is in 27 hours.
Yeah.
So, wow. So y'all know, now's the time. Go, go, go. If you have not gotten it, looking at where our purchase order is going to be, get it now. Because I think if we do have this on sale for Christmas, it'll probably sell out at Christmas, and that'll be just kind of the end of action news. So if sure. you like the game, then go get it.
Go get it now. Yeah. So how many hours you say? How many? What, 7 hours? Or did you say
27 hours?
27 hours.
So that's a little right. bit over 24, a little bit over
hours. Around, yeah, right yeah. around the time that James Franco is deciding he might just drink his own pee.
I was going to say, yeah. you should have done a promotion. Yeah. At 127 hours, you should have done a promotion about cutting your arm off if you got to a certain level. at 48 hours, you should have done something that was like Nick Nolte related. I don't know what.
Now, we do have one more thing, one more public humiliation
yeah.
that I'm indoor.
Mm.
Is the game itself is not something that you feel comfortable putting your money on. You can put your money toward this. And that is if we get to 1,200. Yeah. So that would be a stretch, man. That's 168 backers between now and tomorrow plus 2 hours,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're Ed Norton, directed by Spike Lee. Then I will get a haircut in the manner in which the internet has voted.
And oh, wow.
Those options right now have come down to a real two-horse race, which is either Bryce. I don't know if you've seen Bryce Castillo, our producer and co-host on Night Attack. He's got this like undercut with right. Like basically like my hair now that's kind of floppy like this.
Like just like you're doing, right? Pulling all to one side, but nothing on the other side.
Right.
Shaped like totally down on the other side, right? And undershaved under there, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Or, and this is in the lead, the Brian Brushwood spikes.
Oh, wow.
I will get the Brian Brushwood spikes.
Wow.
If we hit 1,200, and that is the number one voted hairstyle, so that is...
Can I commend you on the fact that you did not just leave it up to the internet to come up with hairstyles? You kept them narrowed down to a specific set that you chose, as opposed to, like, the inverse mohawk, or the Mr. T, or the, you know...
Mohawk was on there, for the record, so...
Sure, sure. Regular mohawk, but not a reverse mohawk.
Reverse mohawk wasn't. I mean, ultimately... it's going to be what it is, whatever it is. Even if it was something ridiculous, I don't know. It was, we put it up to the chat room. Chat room came up with the stuff. But I am excited that just the full cue ball has not been voted on very well.
Oh, you were going to go that far. Wow. All right.
Yeah, it's not so much a haircut as it's not a haircut. You think leaves you with some hair in a style.
Yeah.
The full on bald, the full on chrome dome is let's just shake the etch a sketch upside down.
Sure. And
go back to a clean starting point.
What it really is a startling realization of how small my head is. Like, cause I have a shockingly small head, but nobody ever thinks of it like that. Cause I've either had very thick hair or beard. So everybody would just immediately realize that the force perspective that I've been using on them for years is indeed a fabrication, and I have a tiny crepe for a head.
Well, this is great. I'm very excited to see how this all turns out. But let's get to the meat of the meet and greet here. The sure. important well, issue of the moment, all right?
Yeah.
We reserve your time here on Tuesdays occasionally for politics. So I've got a question for you.
Go ahead.
We talked about a little bit yesterday, but more surfacey. But you got a new communicator. Well, you no longer have your White House communications director / press secretary guy anymore. You still have Sarah Huckabee there, but you got rid of Scaramucci, or Moochie, as people are calling him, or Mooch, the Mooch.
The Mooch.
So he's the Mooch. He's out. And we don't know who's in yet, or do we? We know, actually, I guess we don't know who the new,
No, we don't. The rumor circulating yesterday was that Kellyanne Conway might take it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Ugh. That takes, puts me in a whole new frame of mind. I didn't know about that rumor. That's kind of nuts. All right. Well, let's assume for assumption's sake that whatever happens there happens. If it ends up being somebody in the military, I'm going to start to get worried. And here's why. Hear me out, and I want to hear your opinion.
Okay.
Usually where I start to struggle with any administration moving toward authoritarian sort of directions, it's usually when I start seeing key positions that are normally held for either really smart politicians or lawyers or somebody with experience in the Department of Justice or whatever it may be, when they start filling those positions with generals and colonels from various armed forces, I start to worry about that a little. Even though I think those guys are great, they're brave, honest men for the most part. Like, there's some good stuff going on there, but I don't like the idea of an executive branch run mainly by military people. So, A, am I worrying about nothing and it's not any big deal? And this General Kelly thing is just one guy out of potentially many. But then again, you had the other guy who was a general. He's gone now. But, you know, like, do you worry at all, or should I worry at all about that the military direction that the leadership is taking?
I mean, no.
Okay.
Like, seen them? Like, they could all use a little military precision. Like, they don't know... They don't know their ass from their elbow. I mean, like their last press secretary, their last not press secretary. Press secretary is the person that goes out there and answers the question. The communications director is the person that's supposed to be removed and planning the rollout for everything. They're the one that says 10 steps back. Okay, well, we should do this and not this. Well, if you're going to do that, then let's wait 5 days so we can give the air to this thing that we want to do. And then you push the vote on this time, and here are our surrogates, and these are the messaging. That person, the cerebral 10-step back person, saw a tweet, called a reporter drunk, theoretically, and aired all the dirty laundry inside the White House, and then threatened to fire everybody if this random reporter didn't tell him who told him that he went to dinner. Which is what the leak was, quote unquote. Called the guy and then did all the leaking that could possibly be done about, he gave him a first-hand source inside the White House of who hated who and why they hated each other. Yeah. So, am I worried that if General Kelly, the new chief of staff, puts in a retired military person in as communication director? Mm-hmm. No. I don't. If it were a retired military person at Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of the Interior, Secretary Department of Energy, if it was all military people there,
yeah,
then I'd be like, oh, okay, this is getting a little bit too. This isn't exactly in the spirit of a citizen run military, right? This seems like a military run citizenry.
Yeah. Okay.
Communications director, like. No, whatever. I mean, like, they're supposed to be on top of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have certainly not been. They have let the message get away from them at all times. So who knows? I mean, the question of whether Donald Trump responds to military people seems to be kind of up and down. You know, sometimes the ones he loves and reveres and thinks are the best people ever. The ones he doesn't, he's fairly disrespectful to. So if he had a communications director that he revered, maybe there would be somebody that could say, hey, don't randomly talk about how you're banning trans people from the military before you talk to your generals.
Right. Like, maybe put the phone down and don't tweet something before you talk to me.
If you're going to do that, don't make it part of a two-part tweet that begins with, I've discussed with the generals and dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that. So, I don't think that that is... I don't think that that's A, that this is the administration that you necessarily have to worry about that with, I would say, a more traditional administration that had ties to the military might be a bigger question mark there. Mm-hmm. And that position, I don't think, is the one that you need to worry about, like, things becoming too militarized.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I actually agree with that. And I kind of was taking more the position of the devil's advocate here because it's too early to say. But it's always this weird little warning signal. Like, Bill Kristol was talking about this somewhere. And I don't mean Billy Kristol. I mean, like, conservative pundit.
National Review, right?
Yeah, National Review author, longtime conservative Republican Bill Kristol, was saying that it's usually a very bad sign when you start to see military leadership show up in the West Wing. And my first impression was, well, now, hold on. They need some order. And if there's one thing that definitely, if there's one aspect of life that understands the meaning of order, it's the military most of the time. You know, there are plenty of high-profile examples of times when order wasn't there so much, Abu Ghraib or whatever. But even then, though, that, you know, the order was whatever they were being told they could do or get away with. So order is order, no matter what you color it. But I didn't want to... I felt like he was maybe jumping the gun a little bit. It seems a little too early to say that. But I have learned over the last 6 months not to be, you know, not to count stuff out. Like, stuff will happen and you'll go, oh, that'll never happen, and then it'll happen. Well, he'd never say that, and then he'll say it. Or that person would never do that, and then they'll do it. So if it starts to fill up with these guys, let's say even then, what do you do? Do you just say, oh, that seems bad, move on with our lives every day? Like, what do you do? What does Justin Robert Young do when he thinks his government is going authoritarian on him?
I mean, more than what? Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, in terms of what Bill Kristol said, he hates Donald Trump and has hated Donald Trump since the primaries. So it doesn't surprise me that he'd be critical of the move. Yeah. And I don't think it's necessarily an out-of-pocket statement to say that the reason why I think what he's saying is true is that military people are good at being in the military.
Yeah.
The point of the military is that you are very, very specifically regimented to do a certain thing. You are part of a big, well-oiled machine, which, although very effective, doesn't necessarily breed the most creative people, right? They are good at solving the problem that they're in front of solving because that's what they're trained to do. If you are in the world of politics, A, you probably have a little bit of a less of an idea of how to deal with politics and reporters and stuff like that. And number two, you are probably just craving any kind of order because things are so crazy that you literally just want the order machine to come in and say, no, this goes here, this goes here, this goes there.
Right.
So I think that's the point, and it's not ridiculous. As to what I do when I worry that the government is descending into authoritarianism, like, I guess I just don't think of it like that. You know, we live in a very interesting government. It's funny. When I was driving to LA, I was talking with my co-creator for The Contender in Action News, John, about this, that, like, one of the coolest things about our system is that not only do we have, well, the scariest parts, that we have many, many organizations, including all of our armed forces and our intelligence communities, that probably could fairly easily execute a coup.
Yeah, that's a big, someone in the chat room's talking about this too. I'm curious about that.
The good news is there's a bunch of them and they hate each other. So none of them would let the other one do it.
Why would they? No, wait. How do we know they hate each other? Why do we think that?
That's the point. Go ask the FBI what they think of the CIA, or the NSA what they think of the CIA, or go ask the Army what they think of the Navy. go ask the, you know, a Marine what they think of an Air Force person. Like, there's a rivalry between those orders of government that it does not operate top down.
Yeah.
Except from the Secretary of Defense, who has to just be a referee and a shot caller.
That's interesting. I mean, so you don't ever foresee a scenario, and I'm, again, this is me just playing with the imagination, guys. It's not me. I'm not going all Alex Jones on anybody. I'm not calling for conspiracies here, but, you know, if they wanted to, if there was ever to be a military coup in this country, which sounds crazy to even say the words,
yes,
this might be a decent time to do it, because Trump loves those military types for reasons, and then they come in and they do their thing, and you know, it's not that unusual to wonder if maybe that would ever be in the cards. I mean, I don't think it would be.
I would think that it would be an even more tumultuous relationship because of what we've talked about. Like, the they'd get along fine for a little while, and then it would be, well, I want to kind of go rogue, and the you know, like you said, the military person is going to be more focused on order, and you got to do things like this. We got to do things like this. And yeah, pretty soon it'd be, all right, you're fired too now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's okay. The other thing is, you can see him turn on people like within a week sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's praising them, and then the very next week they're out of there. And I guess he still has that power. Right. Like, if General Kelly came in and said, yeah, well, you've hired me to clean things up, so I'm cleaning it up. Part of that is you need to do this, Mr. President. Bap, 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 bap. You know, goes all, what's his name on West Wing? Can't think of his name. But the guy was, you know, that would have no problem telling the president what to do when he was chief of staff. Right. Then, you know, that
he
doesn't
rebel
mean
against that.
Yeah, I mean, and Trump could just say, well, then go away. Right?
Right.
Like, you're fired too.
Right. That's his right to do it.
Yeah. He has that power to both hire and fire anybody he wants.
Obama went through 4 chiefs of staff.
Yeah.
You know, that is a position with a fairly high burnout. You know, it's not shocking that Reince got fired. The first chief of staff traditionally has a shorter shelf life than some of the other ones that come afterward when the president figures out how they want to govern and what they want to do. Not to say that this isn't a chaotic administration, because very obviously it is. But to me, General Kelly firing the Mooch as fast as he did was a good sign, because he was obviously not there for the job. He wasn't going to get it. The people inside desperately wanted to not hire him. Trump overrode him immediately. And look, something that Donald Trump is not good at, which is immediately realizing a mistake, and instead of doubling down on it and making, you know, Mooch his new chief of staff, you know, he let a guy come in there and fire him, which is probably what should happen, because he probably shouldn't have gotten hired to begin with.
Yeah, good point. All right. Well, I find the recent development of things very fascinating.
Do you think that we are? I mean, because the other history of military coups is things are usually going terrible.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I mean economically, like sure. There are people out of work, or people dying, like wars, famines, stuff like that is why military coups happen. As much as people are wailing and gnashing their teeth on Twitter, and I'm not to say that there are not problems that are happening in America, but they are problems in which are solved in boardrooms, not like the Black Plague or the Dust Bowl or something like that.
No, you're right. I mean, we're nowhere near that. There's no question about it. I started reading some of these people's responses to it, and I got to thinking, yeah, I mean, a lot of things seem real unlikely. So how unlikely is that idea of a military intervention or of a complicit military effort where that arm of, you know, I mean, he is technically the commander in chief of the military arm of the government. So, you know, they could, he might really like what authority they bring to things. And maybe that just, to him, he's like, well, why would I hire anybody else except these guys who know how to, you know, swing off of trees and kill 20 Vietnam soldiers at once or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he's coming around on that. Maybe he would say nicer things about John McCain now if he would really have thought about it, what it meant to be like a military dude. So maybe, and that's the worry, and not the worry, the potential worry is that he'll just sort of surround himself with sycophantic style military men who admire his, I realize that's a contradiction just saying it, but they admire perhaps his business acumen if it exists, and he admires them for whatever, and now they're in cahoots and everybody makes big money and everybody's happy.
It does. What are you even talking to? That plan doesn't. What is the plan?
There's no plan. There's no plan.
What underpants gnome scheme is this? Like, for the benefit of what? Like what happens? What happens that is different?
Nothing.
Do we suspend the First Amendment? Do we make martial law? Like what happens? Because a complicit military coup happens.
I don't know. I don't know what happens. My taxes go down, they go up. I don't know. I don't know what happens. I mean, I have no reference for this because I've never been in a situation where this has ever happened. I've never lived in a country where that's happened. I have friends who have, and even they don't know how to really describe to me what that does to their country. So I don't know. But it's easy. Well, it's easy to get wrapped up in the hoo-ha and start asking what if questions. None of these are actual fears of mine. But, you know, It's interesting to explore it. Like, we've never really been in a position where we could sit and go, yeah, what if this weird stuff going on? What if it got this weird and then discuss it? I think there's some value in that. You know, maybe. Sure.
Yep. I mean, but let's actually discuss it instead of just saying, like, anyway, so there's a military guy. What if the military took over? Also, what if he didn't take over and they just kind of took over because they loved each other?
Yeah.
Like that's not constructive.
All right.
Just,
what
if there's Russians under your bed?
What if the president falls in love with one of his Secret Service members? No, I don't. I'm not going that way. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just a weird. It's fun to play what if with this one for some reason.
Sure. But I guess here's what I'm saying. If you really wanted to execute a military coup, if you really want to talk about what if, then number one, you have to create the situation that's right for it.
Yeah.
So if economy totally f***ing tanked, right? Yeah. Sorry, Frick.
It's all right. That's good. Listen, this is you. You're real. You're uncut.
He's fired up.
Yeah.
I know. We're not. Listen, once we get past the morning hour, we're past the watershed here for me.
Cherry likes stuff too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Once you, if you have the stage set for it,
yeah.
Right? So you either have, we are under attack. The sanctity of America is at stake, or people are just, it is the Great Depression. Like, we just have, there is no money and there is no infrastructure and there is no leadership, right?
Right.
Then, I don't think that people that come up in the American military would want to do that, just because, also look at the, you know, military coups are really, really cool for the military people if you only read half the book, you know?
Yeah.
Half the book very rarely ends well. It's never like, oh, we started a military coup and then we just, it kept being a militarized republic forever.
You know? They never do. Yeah. Cause it never works out that way. Does it? Like, it always is like this bloody mess at the beginning, but maybe heroic. Cause you did it. You pulled it off. You did your big thing. And then what? Like the, then what stuff?
You need the will of the people.
Yeah.
And so if we have, I don't know if you picked up on this, but America's really, really proud of their government and their form of government, and we talk about it all the time,
yeah.
And we yell about other people's forms of government in derisive manners. So the idea that we would no longer be a citizen-run republic, I don't think that attitude changes overnight because people don't like the president and he has only a 30-whatever% approval rating. We've had plenty of presidents with that and a little bit lower, and we've survived, and we just wait and we sit on our egg of hate, and then we vote the party out of power in the midterms, and then we vote the president out at the next election. That's how we handle things, and I don't think that a military coup taking him out would be more to bring sympathy to Trump than anything else.
Oh yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, like nobody, well, I would think nobody would want to stand for such a thing because it does seem a little extreme. Like, waiting it out for 4 years versus that seems crazy. Also, I don't know that there's even cause for it. I don't like Trump at all, but I'm not sure I'd ever say there was cause for a military coup. Like
no.
the gears of democracy, if you really step back and look at it objectively as you can, are kind of doing their job. It was never meant to be a destination. If there's resistance, that's a good thing, no matter who's in office, and you want to see, you know, people hammering away at things. And I see that. Like, I see that happening. The whole healthcare thing is a really strange thing to watch. But the big takeaway for me is, yeah, this is the process. And it doesn't always go your way. but the process is the process. There's no end game. There's no final frontier. There's no, oh, we did it, everybody. Relax. We can relax now. There's just this constant movement. And that's kind of fun to watch right now. Like, I'm kind of into it, weirdly, even though I'm still, I'm pretty annoyed with, you know, Trump as always, but the process.
Hey, by the way, I'm just saying, I'm gonna have to do something I didn't want to do.
What?
I'm not a Trump. You guys know that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to defend Trump against your
Oh, against what? Say that last part again.
Against your libel. Your libel online. your scurrilous comments.
You don't mean my tweet replies to him, do you? Because those have been fun.
Yeah. No, I do. I do mean. So this is kind of a pedantic point, but he's not wrong that when so the economy is a weird thing to track, right? Yeah, but yeah. And yet it's the most important thing that exists when you elect a president or reelect a president, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two things that we generally look at as the health indicators for the economy are unemployment and the stock market. And if one or both are doing really well, we consider it to be a good economy.
Yeah.
There are other indicators. So, but by and large, if you like are looking at what does average voter know, the one thing they know is the stock market. It's in the paper every single day. It's a number. It goes up and down. It's easy to understand. You don't have to worry about real stock market versus adjusted stock market. It's just a number. Boom. Yeah. I get it.
They still go down, though. You know what I mean? Like, they'll always go down. They'll go up, and they'll go down, and they'll go up and go down. That's the very nature of the thing. Nobody a week before the 2008 crash went, oh, we're in perfect, you know, look at everybody. Nobody had any idea what was about to happen a week before it happened.
So you can, and I don't think that's an invalid point to say that, yes, it's not a great indicator, and yes, it can turn on a dime. And oftentimes when it goes really high, it's about to go really low. But it remains to be a thing that presidents get credit for or blame for, whether or not it is their thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Sure.
Goes up, stock market goes down. The credit gets the credit, or president gets the credit if it goes up. They get the blame if it goes down.
Right.
So if his point is, in that tweet that you responded to and made a joke about afterward, that, hey, when the stock market was going up with Obama, everybody couldn't stop popping enough champagne bottles. But now that it's going up with me, nobody talks about it. It's not an unfair set of variables for the political landscape.
But he's not within politics, sure, but he's not doing anything to make that happen. There's nothing he's doing to make it happen. He deserves zero credit for it, yet takes full credit for it.
So the Trump supporter would argue, and I'm really, really glad that you are out here on TMS jumping up and down screaming that Obama was getting too much credit for the stock market when it was going up and everybody was saying that he was bringing the economy back.
No, he got too much credit too. I'm saying that the credit belongs chiefly in the hands of the populace. Like, everybody working every day, everybody doing things every day, everybody trying to make it work. They're the ones that get the credit for this. It doesn't just drop and raise and drop and raise based on some idiot being in the office. Otherwise, I think you'd see it drop. Or, for that matter, if you hate Obama, you should have seen it drop when he was in there. The point is, it's a crappy thing for them to take credit for and to get blamed for. If the thing was crashing, I wouldn't say it was his fault. I'd say it's our fault. We're the ones building we do the economy, not him. He's golfing right now.
And those are all cool things to say. But it remains that the way that we understand things as a nation happened to be another.
I understand. Perception is everything. I get it. That's what you're telling me.
It's not everything. It's just this thing. It's just how we don't have a lot of indicators for this kind of stuff.
Right.
And stock market happens to be one. People... There are elements to being the president that you can control, or you can affect the stock market. Like, if you are looking to deregulate, then business and investment, optimism in business doing well will be higher because you are looked at as a more business-friendly president. Obama was not looked at as a business-friendly president. Clinton was, for example. Yeah. And so they got benefits of market optimism because they were looked at in certain ways.
Right, right. No, I understand that.
Trump is as well.
This is my whole problem, though. What you just did is because I'm in agreement with you, but what you did was describe my entire problem with the whole thing. It's way more complicated than anyone ever talks about. So him taking credit for it is a oversimplification to the nth degree, just like it would be an oversimplification to the nth degree if it crashed around him. And it will go down while he's in office. That's just the way the stock market works. If it was nothing but this level of stability and growth for four straight years, that would be weird. Just historically, that'd be really weird, especially when it comes to, and I don't know what he'll do when that happens. I don't know if he'll find somebody else to blame, but it is too simple, and it panders to the some people's lack of education about it or inability to, maybe they just don't understand how the stock market works. They never have. I barely know how it works. I mean, I really don't, to be honest, but I know it's more complicated than I think it is. I guarantee it is. And not just the stock market, but, you know, the economy of a giant nation full of 400 million people. It's just not as simple as saying, look what we've done for 6 months. No. It's not that. It's a bunch of factors that aren't even in our heads right now. And that's maybe what I hate about him the most, is his desire to, specifically to his base, play with this idea that it's all simple black and white ones and zeros for everything. And that you're never wrong, and you never lose, and you're always winning. Even when you lose, you're winning. Like, that kind of oversimplification of life really rubs my cheese into a frenzy.
Yeah. I think we can all tell.
Oh, now it's out of my system. I'm good. So, look, you've only got 26 and some hours before this thing ends. You should probably get one more chance here before this show goes away today to get people on the ball.
Absolutely. So go ahead and everybody check out actionnewsgame.com. You can also go ahead on over to facebook.com/thecontendergame. There you're going to see a video. If you want to get a sense of the play of the game, you can go ahead and check out this great, it's under a minute, video from the Daily Dot that we shot while I was out there in Austin that just shows the basic gameplay, what you do, how you put together everything, and the fun that you can have with the game. So go ahead and check it out. Actionnewsgame.com. Thank you to everybody who not only backed this, but also you know, really made it such a tremendous success. And I owe you guys so much. And if in these last 24 hours we could get a big concerted push from the Frog Pants community to share it with as many people as they could, it would warm the cockles of my heart. Thank you and good night.
Here, his cold cockles. Cold, hard cockles. All right, Justin, take it easy.
That's tricky.
We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. Brian, let's finish things out today with a couple of quick things, all right?
All right.
Got an email here from Bernie Walter, who says, I have a theory about what could happen with Star Trek Discovery. CBS is doubling down on their all-access streaming service. That is true. Mm-hmm. The fate of Star Trek Discovery lies in how many people want to shell out $5 or $6 a month to watch this show. I can't speak for all, but I'm really leery of yet another monthly streaming payment. And that we are getting the Orville on Fox. The new trailer looked pretty fun. It could be very easy for people to say, I'll wait for season one of Discovery to hit Netflix or just watch the Orville. I'm not sure it'll ever hit Netflix, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. I know it's outside of the U.S. It's going to Netflix, but or it's going to be premiering on Netflix, but not necessarily here ever.
Because it's only because Netflix did the diligence stuff to get your international happening, and so it makes more sense for CBS to make a deal with them. Right. So they don't have to do it themselves. But anyway, that's basically it's just I kind of understand. I mean, if it's good, I'll pay $5 a month for it. The question is, will I pay that after the series is over or between seasons? Probably not.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, what else is there on CBS that you can't just get you know, get terrestrially. I mean, we have a TiVo that records our terrestrial shows. So CBS, NBC, Fox, ABC, sure. We get all that stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else there would be on CBS. They're really going to have to push their additional bonus content, Survivor stuff that we don't get to see on the TV show, or hopefully not another crap season of Big Brother where they just make it on All Access. That failed miserably, by the way. They tried to do Big Brother Over the Top prior to the current season that's on, yeah. And I think it lasted a month. It didn't even last the full 3 months that Big Ooh, Brother is supposed to last. They just said
that's bad.
Yeah. So imagine they walked back into the house of all these, you know, these people who are thinking they're going to be on a game show, a reality show for 90 days. Yeah, the ratings aren't there. You guys can all just go home. Yeah.
See you later, fellas.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's not the HBO deal where, I mean, a lot of people do that for Game of Thrones already with HBO, but at least HBO's got this huge amount of content. So right. I don't feel like stopping that between seasons of my favorite thing on there because I'm getting enough other stuff and I'm paying more for that even. But CBS has a lot to prove to say that that there's more than Star Trek that I'm going to care about for that extra $6.
Exactly. Exactly. Otherwise, what's the point? Just buy the season on iTunes if you can, right?
Yeah. I assume they're going to still have those distribution deals. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
If the only way I can get it is this way, then maybe you got me for... But again, I don't know if you have me off season or not.
Right.
Albert in Maryland wrote in, says, your Satan talk reminded me of my mother and her crazy friends. You may have been gone for the Satan talk.
Was this the done with Dunaway yesterday, probably?
Maybe. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
And he says,
I don't remember any Satan talk.
Satan talk. She was convinced that I was going to get possessed and kill people and myself because I listened to heavy metal and watched the D&D cartoons. Also, she flipped out one day when I came home from the mall and wanted to see what I had bought. It was The Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden. I couldn't have been worse if she checked what my friend brought, which was Slayer, Reign in the Blood. His mother was even more nuts. She put all of his albums in the trash and told him that she could hear the demon scream when she put the lid on. Also, you forgot to mention Judas Priest being put on trial. Wasn't the 80s great? Albert from Maryland.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
My nobody in my house was that crazy, but my mom kind of bought into the whole idea that youth culture was going to kill the kids. But gosh dang it, what generation doesn't have that? They all have it.
Yeah.
Right. Rock and roll in the 50s, jazz in the 20s and 30s.
Fidget spinners now. They're zombifying our children.
That's right. It's comic books.
Always something.
They're corrupting us. Wendy's thing at Nerdtacular was awesome. I can't remember the quote. But it was a quote saying access to this will ruin our children's minds. It will make them unable to communicate properly, blah, 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 and all these things. And I thought, oh, well, what's she talking about? Like cell phones or Snapchat or something? It was a quote about the invention of paper, like from thousands of years ago. So every generation has somebody who thinks something's going to jack your kids up. And
of course,
this email helps prove that, in my opinion. Paper. You ever seen it? Look at it. All right. That's going to do it. We're going to get out of here. Patreon.com/TMS is how you can support this show. We'll be back tomorrow in less than... Let's see, how many hours is that? No, we'll be...
It's 12, 15 hours.
15 hours.
No, 16 hours we'll be back. We'll be back in.
Yep. 16 hours tomorrow, Wednesday, all the Wednesday fun. So come on back for that. Frogpants.com/TMS. By then, Brian will have the stink of an airplane off of him, so that'll be good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yes, I didn't even talk about the guy, and there's really nothing more to talk about this guy than just say, landing in Vegas, for the 20 minutes prior to landing, the businessman who sat a seat away from me, that we had the middle seat was open,
yeah.
He had the aisle, I had the window, plucking nose hairs for the last 20 minutes of the flight.
Why?
With his fingers.
Why?
Guy bored him.
What?
For the whole rest of the flight, he was staring diligently at a spreadsheet that was printed out on multiple sheets of paper all stapled together and scrawling stuff on them.
Right.
And then I guess he finished that up and decided to do a little nostril trim with his fingers and yink.
It's the wrong place for it there, dude. That's disgusting. Yes. Don't do that on a plane. All right. But do this at the end of shows. Play songs. Brian brought one. What do you got? A request, I assume.
I've got a request from Michael. Hello, Brian. My wife's birthday is on August 1st, and I would like to request a song for her. She likes a lot of the same music as me, so that means a gigantic amount of music. Our favorite love song is You Are My Sunshine. Even though lyrics can get a bit dark, we change up the lyrics a bit to be more positive. If you can find a version of You Are My Sunshine that goes along with this, that would be great. Well, with your lyrics that you change up, I'm not going to find a version that has your lyrics, I'm afraid. I'm sorry. Another one of our favorites makes us cry every time it's played is Can't Help Falling in Love with You. We love any cover of the song or anything with a similar theme. Love the show, though. Michael, Fireball 8931 when I get the chance to join live.
Nice.
Now, I really do like the song You Are My Sunshine. There's a great Johnny Cash version. I think we've played a couple different versions on here. There's a real rocking one that came from the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. So I'm going to pick another version of this. Now, this one is not a – it doesn't change up the lyrics to be a little bit more positive, but a lot of people only know the song from like the first couple of verses. And so this may be kind of news to them that the lyrics can get a little bit dark. So – I'm playing a version with the original lyrics. Now it's a you know, the woman's voice, Lissy, beautiful singing voice, and maybe that will uplift you a little bit, Michael. But I like these lyrics. I think it's one of those songs that you don't think about it being as dark as it is until you start reading the lyrics. Hey Yeah by Outkast is another one of those songs. Sounds like this happy fun dance song, but it's about everybody splitting up. And so that's one of those things. This is Lissy from the Simple Life Camp Songs. Yes, I bought the soundtrack to the show featuring Paris Hilton as a goes to camp or whatever the hell it was. I didn't watch the show, but I bought the soundtrack. It's all covers. Came out in 2007. Here is Lissy and You Are My Sunshine.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. And Core in a little less than an hour. So check that out right here at frogpants.tv. And that's it. I think that's it. Thank you all for being here. See you then.
The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamt I held you in my arms. When I awoke, dear, I was mistaken. So I hung my head and cried. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. So please don't take my sunshine away. I'll always love you and make you happy. If you will always say the same. But if you leave me and love another, you'll regret it all someday. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. So please don't take my sunshine away. You told me once, dear, you really loved me, and no one else would come between. But now you've left me to love another. You have forsaken all of my dreams. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. So please don't take my sunshine. Shine away. In all my dreams, dear, you seem to leave me. When I awake, my poor heart pains. So won't you come back and make me happy? I'll forgive you, dear, I will take all the blame. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy you when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. So please don't take my sunshine away. No, please don't take my sunshine away. No, please don't take my sunshine away.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I need healing.